foolish one. But that means you're all the wise, okay? So, what I'm here today to do is to confound you. Actually, to back up the word that's already been brought in the house today. John, in particular, each word that came is just part of the message. And as Pastor Julie knows, every time you stand up here, we spend an inordinate amount of time preparing messages. And you always wonder what God's going to do. You know, you've got really no idea. But then you turn up and he just puts everything in place. And you know then, and it's confirmed, that that's exactly what's going to happen. And I just am just so blessed in that the Holy Spirit's already come before me. And I don't mind being foolish in any way for the Lord. I'm only too happy to be a fool for him, is that he's blessed us with so much, as we've seen and heard today, which is just amazing. But you see, it's faithfulness. It's the faithful bringing the tithes to the house, because you're faithful, allow the things to happen all around the world. And Ross, for you, a faithful man, you're here today. You could have chosen to be away, all right? But you're in the right place. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be about your life because of you stepping in and doing, you know, what we're called to do. And it's just an amazing thing that we have. I'd like to just start. Lord, I just stand here today, Father. The foolish things that are sent to confound the wise, that we might just confirm your word that's already been brought in the house today. Father, that you are the God of all creation, come to earth and given your life for us. Lord, that we're blessed with a free will, Lord. And that, Lord, we mightn't be like those windmills, but we might take that free will and, Father, link it into yours and commit it to you. Lord, that you are faithful in all the little things. Father, there is nothing in you. There's no secular and then religious. You're involved in everything, Lord, and we'll see that today. As we give glory to you, Lord, just open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear what you would speak in the house today. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So many good things. This is going to be good, isn't it, John? This is going to be good. Yes. Struck by lightning. I talk about the foolish things. Better you have the foolish, okay, than Balaam's donkey, okay? Could be a bit messy if the donkey was up here for quite a while, all right? Graham would be running around the pooper scooper and, you know, wouldn't be that good. But it's amazing what God does in our lives. Over these past few months, Pastor Julie's been, you know, bringing some amazing practical tips on our lives, what we can do. And not last week, but the week before, she made a comment towards the end of a message was that don't let our foolishness turn us from God, all right? Don't get to a point in our life where things are going wrong, we start to blame God, all right? Proverbs 19:3, we read this, and it says, "A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord." And we already know that it's our stupidity, our lack of surrender to God that creates the problems. Now, God is the God of love, God of graciousness, God of all things. We heard last week the different ways of describing God, and one of those was incomprehensible. And yet, what do we try and do with God? We try and comprehend him. All right. If we could bring God into our level of understanding, what sort of God would he be? not the one we really want to serve, all right? Because my comprehension is fairly limited, okay? I would assume that most of us are like the rest of us in that our comprehension. But if God was comprehensible to us, he wouldn't be the God that we would come to lay our lives down to. And Pastor Julie just mentioned that the other week. I just want to encourage you today that my whole message can be summed up. And if you've got your Bible with you, just turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to give you the end of the message right away, make it easy for you, so that you can understand that even if I do waffle on a little bit today, I will get to a conclusion. All right? There is a conclusion to all of this. So turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. So you got that going? It's a good thing. Good thing to have your Bibles. And Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's spent a lifetime of excess. He's had a lifetime of anything you could imagine or wonder about, anything you might want to try or look out for. And he comes to this and he says, the conclusion of the matter. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. There you go. That's the full gist of the message for today. I'll sit down now, will I? Or would you like me to fill it out a little bit? Okay. But John brought that up to us today. The God of all creation who came and died for us, if we will surrender our lives to him. He has it all in control. Would you like a five-step program how to get your marriage right? Or a five-step program on getting your finances right? Or a five-step program today about how to go out and save the world? Well, it all comes and it's encapsulated in another scripture, and that's Matthew 6 and 33, where he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if you're feeling short in any area today, if you're worried about what's going on, if there's challenges in your life, the first thing you will do, look to 6:33, because 6:32 gives us the context of it. 6:34 adds a little bit further. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Pastor Julie brought us some great ideas from James on the practical outworkings of things. But if we will surrender our lives over and allow Jesus to be who he is, then it will be done for us. I actually brought notes today, but we'll see where we get to. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, to fear God. To fear God doesn't mean to stand there and tremble and shake. Let's have a look at some things that fear God. To honour, to esteem, to revere, to glorify, to hallow, to obey, believe. They're just a couple of things off the top of my head when I sat down to write this out. When we do this, the practical follows. So we surrender our lives to Christ. Again, Christ and the Apostle Paul talks about the mystery of God, the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This mystery, how do we comprehend it? How do we come to it? If we look that Christianity came out of an Eastern religion, it was based on mysticism and all sorts of different things. And then out of that came this wonderful Saviour called Jesus Christ. But it poses a mystery to us, an incomprehensible mystery that gets answered when we come into relationship with the one who was sent and his Holy Spirit that gives us clarity in all the things. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And how often have you ever tried to relate to someone who has not got any interest in their eternal life or the fact that the soul is eternal and is going to go on? But to them, you try and bring the message of Jesus and him crucified, it's just foolishness. And I'm just going to expand a little bit now. On the 13th of December, my mum fell over and broke both her arms. At 86 years of age, it's not a good thing to do, okay? And what it did was meant that we ended up in Maria Hospital in emergency for about a week in that situation. Then they transferred her back to the Bay. So you can imagine that an 86-year-old with two broken arms needs a little bit of help. So each day we would go throughout the family, most of us would go in. We had to feed her three meals a day, help her, you know, with the showering and all the different things that require the use of your hands. That's been going on for about 2 months. We got her home on Friday. So she's healed up, she's well, she's able to have a shower now, go to the bathroom and do the basic things for herself. But in that period of time is I got to sit in a hospital ward and watch quite a number of people come in and out of that hospital ward. Some of them are very near to end of life. Others, life is not very exciting. And even just with what's happened with Sandra yesterday, is that all of us will face our mortality one day. It's not something we talk very much about in the West. We're very clinical about how we handle death. We're very clinical about how we handle injury and looking after people. It's really intriguing to me that our medical profession do some of the things they do. We have amazing, beautiful people like Pornima in there looking after these people that are coming through and facing this period of time where they don't know whether they're going to go home this afternoon or not. And in most cases, it's left to our medical staff to help those people transfer that in that period of life. And very rarely is it the families. Now, this is only an observation after 2 months of sitting in a hospital ward. It's something that we like to keep a little bit at arm's length. It's not something that we really want to be up close to a lot of the time. Our empirical scientific thinking keeps us from the spiritual side and the fact that there is more than just this period of time here on earth. And if we understand that in eternity, this little bit of time we get here on earth is the one key thing that can happen in this period of time that can't happen anywhere else in eternity is that you can come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Outside of that, right, what is this period of time here on earth for? It's a question we often ask, isn't it? You know, what am I here for? What is my purpose? What is God's will? Well, it's only an observation, but I think predominantly it is for us to come into relationship with Christ and to develop that relationship along with him above all else. We've heard today that about, you know, what's happening around the world, all the things that happen. But for this period of time, all right, is that most of us come to Christ. I don't know, does anyone... Looking around this room, we're probably getting on a little bit, so we probably don't really remember our courting days. You know, that period of time, you know, where we first met that girl we were going to marry, all right? Or that bloke we were going to marry. And you know, when you're courting, is that it's not a time of full revelation about who or what you do. You're probably not as truthful as you might like to be, is that you're actually out there like, you know, if you're a bloke, you're like a little, you know, bed and rooster, you know, fluffing up and trying to make yourself look good, you know, for this girl to try and attract her. If you're the girls, you know, you're preening up a bit, and it's courting, but it's not the relationship we will have as we get married and go on, all right? In that courting period of time, it's interesting, okay? We're doing everything we can to try and attract this person into our lives. And a lot of us are like that with Jesus. A lot of us are still courting with Jesus. We're not real truthful sometimes. You know, our lives are our lives and we're hanging on to them, we're doing our things. But there comes a time where we need to actually marry Jesus, to actually confirm and commit to the relationship. We actually need to come in and be real with Jesus. We heard about the room getting cleaned up today, all right, and trying to get our lives in order before we go out. Well, my mum, in the period of a couple of months in the hospital, was in there at 86. She'll turn 87 on Tuesday, actually. So it's nice, we'll have a home for a birthday. But in transitioning from hospital to home is they want to help us out. They give you help to come in your household. And it's really interesting is that one of the things Mum didn't want was a cleaner, all right? And I thought, so in these last few months, our conversations have become fairly intimate, and we've been discussing, obviously, you know, life further on and what things might be. But anyway, in talking with Mum, I said, well, why wouldn't you want a cleaner? And she said, oh, well, you know. And anyway, as it turns out, she's embarrassed to have a cleaner come in. Because what might the cleaner think? What might the cleaner think? My goodness. She lives in an amazingly beautiful home. She's got a grandson, a nephew in there that cleans the place immaculately. And yet she's still worried in her heart, all right, that she might be embarrassed by the cleaner. The poor little cleaner's not going to come in and make some assessment on your house, right? But I'm going to suggest that most of us are like that, in that we're trying to clean up our lives before we invite Jesus in. We're trying to do what Jesus promises that he will do. And I'm going to encourage you today, don't be embarrassed. Step into the relationship with Jesus. Allow him to do what he does best. He is the only one that can save your soul. He is the only one that can bring salvation and healing. There is no one else. I better get back to my notes. but for all of us in this room, and I know it was John's heart today, is... the Apostle Paul says later on in Thessalonians, he says, if your life is good and you can be an encouragement, be an encourager. He said, encourage one another. And we're to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and lifting each other up. And that's what I hope that we can do in this house, eh, John? Is that, you know, when we're having a good day, lift each other up. If we're having a tough day, all right, be encouraged and be lifted up. Excuse me. I better have a look what I've got, what else I might have written down here. I'll just go back to my mum for a little bit. Mum was born in Goulburn, lived in Marulan. They moved from Marulan to Regent's Park just at the beginning of the war. She remembers growing up as a child, going to the factory that her mother worked in, making camouflage nets. And for children growing up, it was a great place to play in this great big factory full of camouflage nets, all right? And And so she thinks, yeah, this is a pretty good thing. They would later move from Regent's Park back down to Bundanoon. And at 15 years of age, she left home, went to Sydney to work as a corsetier, a lady who fitted corsets in Grace Brothers in Sydney. So here she is, 15 years of age in Sydney. It would have been a little bit of a culture shock, I would guess. I mean, who of us at 15 would be leaving home to go and get a job? I mean, who of us would let our kids leave home at 15 to go and get a job? But anyway, so she's living in Sydney. She's in a, you know, one room in a hostel sort of situation. Excuse me. And anyway, some of the other kids, and I say kids because at 15 I don't think you're much more than that, but they were actually going to a Billy Graham crusade. So they invited Mum along. So at 15, Mum gives her life at a Billy Graham crusade. Now, it's going back to what I posed before, is that I think our purpose is to come into relationship with Jesus and develop and allow that relationship to be developed. In fact, in Romans 4, and I think it's about 18 or 28 or something, Abraham is commended that, you know, he has faith, and his faith or his life in Christ continues to grow. All right, that's how ours should be. It should continue to grow. We shouldn't just come into relationship with Christ and that's the end deal. It should continue to grow. We are justified by Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. That is for us. It is to come and begin our relationship and learn to walk in Christ. Did any of your children just jump up like that and start running down the street? Or did they learn to walk? All right? It is for us to learn to walk in Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ in me. All right? Is that as we start to take this on and we start to look, is that what are some of the things that we might even do? Now, my mum's life, if you look at it from a natural point of view, would look fairly successful. You know, she raised a nice family. Mum and dad ran successful business, amassed an empire, if you like to look at it from that point of view. But do you think any of that matters to Mum today facing her mortality? And I can tell you, no. It doesn't one little bit. You know, is that there's not one of us in here that will get a grave any bigger than anyone else. You will get one that is 6 foot by, you know, and you don't get to take anything with you. All right? Is at the end, you will be probably, and I hope you're really blessed that God just goes like that and takes you to glory. I hope we, you know, that you're not, you know, brought in where you've got to suffer through and things like that and die lonely in a hospital bed or something like that. I hope God is merciful to all of us and just, you know, takes us straight into glory. But the chances are that that's not going to happen. But his peace that surpasses all understanding is what will go with us through this period of time. As we start to draw towards the end of our lives, the promise that he gives us, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, all right, do I give it. He said, so let not your heart be troubled nor be afraid, all right, but dwell in Jesus, surrender. And that's just going to bring me to the title, to my message today, if we can have it up. And it is a pretty simple one. I made it real easy for the sound desk today. Stolen or surrendered? You will either surrender your life to Christ or you will have it stolen. And if I get back to my mum, she probably has spent most of her life having it stolen. Because in John 10:10, we read, the devil comes to rob, kill, steal and destroy. But But Christ comes to give life and life abundant. Now, at the end of my mum's life, she's going, well, why have I been here? What have I done? All right, because the natural things seem good while you're in them. Solomon spent an entire lifetime and wrote a book about it to give us a conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. And as I look at my mum's life at 86 years of age, she's going, have I wasted 86 years to get to be here? And I'm going to commend you in this room, all right? Even if you think you've wasted your time to now, when's the best time to plant a tree? Now. 20 years ago, probably, but now, all right? So don't miss the opportunity to plant your tree now, all right? Surrender your life to Christ, or it will be stolen. The devil comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And while ever you're trying to sort your life out for yourself, instead of handing it over to the best cleaner that has ever been put on earth, okay, and surrendering it to him, all right, to walk through what needs to happen, it will be stolen from you gradually, day in, day out, every little bit, every time, you know, that little bit of faith gets stripped away or that other little thing, till at some point we get back to Proverbs 19:3, where it says, and man's own folly, all right? Our own folly will keep wanting to drift us away from Christ, our old nature. If we allow it to continue to have dominance, it will see us robbed of what Jesus has for us. And I think I can get nearly to the back page now. Pastor Julie brought this up about our old nature being at enmity with God. She actually spoke about it, took it into that. Because until we come to a point where we surrender the spirit, our old nature, this spirit in us, all right, then we are and still under the control of our old nature. It is, and it will, it's whatever you're going to give preeminence to will grow. Whatever you nurture grows. As we develop our relationship with Christ, as we nurture it, as we develop it, it will continue to grow. It will, because our own free will is a dangerous thing, right? God has already done the work, but he's left us to choose what we're going to do with it, all right? And it's a dangerous thing. So it's when we come to this point of surrender. So if I surrender something, say I surrender $10,000 to Pastor Julie, all right? And I give it over to her. Whose is it? It's hers, isn't it? Because I've surrendered it and given it over. Now, if I surrender my life to Christ, whose is it now? Christ. It's now Christ. Do you think he is more capable of looking after his things than we are? Yes. This incomprehensible God, greater than anything we can imagine, why wouldn't I give my life to him to look after? Why wouldn't I do it? Is incomprehensible is what comes to mind, that I wouldn't do that. Is that the God of all creation, the one who knows everything, he knows my next thought, he's the one who grants me my next breath, right? I think he's capable of looking after it, but I have to surrender it to him. I have to give it over. There's a surrendered life, you will find that having surrendered things over, to you give it freely, then as you give it freely, then that who you've given it to will continue to look after it. But let's say now, in all of these people I would meet in the hospital, because initially Mum was in a ward with three other people, four beds in an open ward. in different ones would come in at different stages of their lives. One gentleman was in there, he was 88 years old. He was in there to see his 62-year-old daughter who would die within 2 or 3 days of being admitted to the hospital. He's going, what? It's wrong. At 88, I shouldn't be here to watch my daughter die. An unsurrendered life, okay? I don't know. He had a faith in Christ, the Father. I don't know about the daughter, all right? But he, instead of having God's peace, he's double-minded. He hadn't surrendered his life to Christ. He knew of him. A bit like my mother. She knew of Christ. She had committed a life to him at age 15, but didn't develop the relationship. Imagine if I married Rosie, and then after that, we never spoke, we never touched one another, we never got together. Would it be a marriage? It's not. And our relationship with Christ has to be the same. It has to be a surrendered life to Christ. It is, these people would come, I would watch a family sit over there. Their mother was in palliative care. She might have, you know, a little bit of time. But they're arguing over who and why the inheritance went the way it did. All right? Now, I can tell you this here in this room. But I wonder, when we go out of this room, whether that's how we are too. Or whether we're surrendered to Christ's heart in our life. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're wondering how you can love that person that hurt you and did what they did to you, you don't have to. You have to allow Jesus in, because he does. He gave his life for them, all right? And if you're having troubles in your life where, you know, your family's giving you grief or whatever, all right, his heart in you will allow you to reconnect, to be what you need to be for them. Because that's who he is. That's who Jesus is. I got through a little bit of my notes. But it's a different attitude. When something's surrendered, you have a different attitude. If something's stolen from you, you feel that you're entitled to justice and you feel that you're entitled to compensation. You feel like something should come back to you. But when you surrender to Christ, you don't need to worry about any of that. It's done. Jesus has done it. And as we look, is don't let things come up in your life that you're going to blame God for. Surrender them to him. He's the one who gives life and life abundantly. He can heal us by the stripes he took. He gave his life. Our old nature that was once at enmity with God, controlled by the spirit of this world, if we surrender our life to Christ, he gives us a new life in him. No longer controlled by the spirit of the world, but controlled by the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We will surrender to Christ, or we will have our lives stolen from us. And you might still make it into salvation and into heaven, but God promises us that we can have heaven here on earth, right? Our lives, and Pastor Julie and Graham and Rosie and myself, our lives are a blessing. I can't tell you just how good that, but if this is just a glimpse of heaven, you know, how our lives have been, I encourage you today that get your relationship with Christ right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness comes through Jesus, not something you're going to do, all right? Don't be thinking that I've had it robbed from me, it's been stolen, that I need compensation, that I need this, I need. No, all you need to do is surrender. We need to stop dating Jesus and commit to the relationship. Okay? I give that to you today. Stop dating. Tell him the truth. Allow him in. Okay? I just wrote here, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I just leave that with you today. It's not too late. Best time to plant a tree? Plant it. Allow it to grow. It needs nurturing. Trees need nurturing. They need watering. They need their roots to go down deep. And I encourage you today, wherever you stand on that, I just want to just go into 2 Thessalonians. I think I must have put something down because I've marked it here. I have no idea why. anyway, read it later on. Okay, pick up Thessalonians 1 and 2, read them. Okay, because I think there's a really good thing in there. And I'm going to leave it there. But if you want any help, a program, like, as I said, our empirical scientific mind, we want to figure things out. Word for the day, since the beginning of this month, everything I've spoken about today is in there. Pick it up and read it. Excuse me, I've just got to find a tissue. As we go from here today, is we heard that, you know, God's in the details. You don't need me here to pray for you today. I've got other commitments at the back. But if you need prayer today, if you would like to go from dating Jesus to actually stepping into the relationship, then Pastor Julie and the rest of the prayer team will be here to pray with you today. Is that, you know, God is good. He doesn't leave us and think we have to do anything. Is that, you know, if I thought I had to be here to pray for you, then God's not very big, eh? All right? And so I'm going to leave it now to Pastor Julie. I'll walk these things out of the road. And
that was brilliant.